Well, if you have your Bibles with you, you can open them to John chapter 20 as I get set up here. You know, I don't think I could ever pull off the no shoes thing up on the church, up on the stage. I mean, you'd all think it was a sermon about the Hobbit. But John chapter 20, and we're going to start at verse 11. We're going to read to verse 18. Verse 1 to verse 18. It's going to be on the screen behind me. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started running for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent it over to look into the tomb, and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them these things that had happened to her. This is the word of the risen God. Have you ever thought you recognized somebody, but you didn't? I was at Save-On a couple weeks ago, and I was there, and I thought I recognized someone, and I was sure that I recognized this person. And you know when you're sure, but you're not really sure? And so you kind of look at them, but you don't look. Right, so you're trying to look and you're trying to not look, and I'm looking at her, and I thought for sure it's a person. She's got the same haircut. The problem was, the person that I thought it was, I've never seen her from here down. I've only seen this part of her face and her hair, and you've probably had the same experience over the last couple of years. And so I wasn't quite sure, so I'm looking at her, trying not to get caught looking at her, and of course I get caught looking at her. And so she looks back at me, and she was very friendly, and so she gave me a nice friendly smile. And I thought the friendly smile was my cue that means I know you. And so I went over and I started talking to her, and as I started talking to her, the smile faded into a very, very confused look. Because it wasn't who I thought it was. I thought I'd recognized her, but I didn't recognize her. And so that was pretty awkward and embarrassing. And so I explained to her what happened, and didn't make it any less embarrassing. We're talking about recognizing Jesus this morning. And when we're talking about recognizing somebody, there's more than one way of recognizing someone, right? One of the ways of recognizing someone is you can recognize their face and recognize who they are, right? You know, I recognize Brandon in the front row here, right? I can see his face. I recognize him. Another type of recognizing someone is recognizing their position or recognizing their authority, right? So you might think about a police officer, and you see a police officer, and you can recognize them because of their uniform. But then you would recognize their authority to do certain things. Or, I mean, maybe not recognize their authority to do certain things. And that might get you into hot water, get you into trouble. Right? You would recognize their authority, recognize their position, recognize their accomplishments. Not recognizing someone at Save-On is embarrassing and awkward. Not recognizing the authority of a police officer could land you in hot water. But this morning we're going to set our sights a little bit higher. Like, way higher. What happens when we don't recognize God? What happens when we miss our Creator? When we miss the ultimate reality and truth in this world? Well, it's more than a moment of embarrassment, isn't it? It's got implications for this life, how we live this life, how we order this life, how we understand this life. And it's got implications for what happens after this life. And it's an important enough topic that it demands and deserves our attention. And in fact, I think the topic of God is the most important topic we can give our attention to. And so we're going to think about it this morning. We're going to take it seriously. We're going to give our attention to it seriously. And I'm not just talking about just hearing the story again. Right? I'm not just talking about just hearing the story one more time. Because you come to an Easter service, you've probably been to a number of Easter services, and you've heard the story, right? You know exactly the story I'm going to tell. Jesus was born, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. It's the greatest story in the history of the world. It really is. And you've probably heard the story a number of times. You've probably heard it way better than I will ever tell it this morning. You've probably seen it played out in much higher production values than what we have here this morning. And maybe, just maybe, you've heard it a number of times. You've heard it so many times. You've heard the story, and you've heard the story, and you've heard the story. And then maybe you leave that place, and you talk about the story that you heard, and you say, man, they did a great job presenting the story. I really enjoyed the way they told that story. I really liked the way that story was brought out. I really enjoyed that. And you think that, and then you leave there completely unchanged. You hear the story that the one true God took on flesh in Jesus Christ. But he took on flesh in Jesus Christ so we could recognize him. So we could relate to him. So we could have a relationship with him. Not just to hear his story, but to know him. And when we recognize Jesus, we go from having a broken rivalry with our Creator to having an unbroken, unbreakable relationship with our Savior. We go from having a broken rivalry with our Creator to having an unbreakable relationship with our Savior. We're going to tell the story of Easter this morning. This is the story. Jesus is crucified, executed on a cross, laid in a tomb. 3 days later, some of his followers go to tend to the body, including Mary Magdalene. They go and they run to the tomb and they rush to the tomb. And I love that story between John and Peter. And it says two apostles, they ran to the tomb. And then John, who's writing the book, says, "But I outran Peter." It's kind of a weird flex, right? Like, but that's what he says. He says, you know, and so I outran Peter and they go in and there's no body. They're coming to find a dead body and there's no body there. Mary Magdalene is there and she's crying, grief-stricken. Her Lord has died. He's in the tomb. She's there to take care of the body. And she puts her head in and there's no body there. But there's two angels. And the angels ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she says, "They've taken my Lord away. It's bad enough that they killed him, but now they've stolen his body and I don't know where it is." And she backs out of the tomb, and there's a man standing there in front of her. She doesn't know who it is. She doesn't recognize him. He asks her the same question. Says, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she gives him essentially the same answer. She says, "My Lord, they've taken his body away. I don't know where. If you took it away," she thinks he's the gardener, "if you took it away, tell me where you put it, and I'll go get it. Right? I won't be mad. Just tell me where you put it, and I will go get it." And she doesn't recognize Jesus. So why doesn't she recognize Jesus? Well, I think there's a few reasons to help us understand what's going on here. One, she's crying. Right, she's crying, she's got tears in her eyes. Her eyes are welled up with tears and she's crying. Right, and if you're a crier, you know that once the tears come, it's hard to see straight. It's hard to see anything, right? And your eyes are filled up with tears. If you're a crier, I was going to say like I am, but you know that I'm too strong and masculine to cry. It's not true. If you're a crier, you know that when the tears come, it's hard to see. But it wasn't just tears for Mary. It was grief. It was deep, deep grief that her Lord had died. Everything she had pinned her hopes on. She had pinned her hopes on this Jesus. She had pinned her hopes on this man. What would she do? She couldn't go back to the life that she had before. She had been delivered. She had been saved from many demons. She had been set free. What would she do? And so it was not just the tears, but it was a deep grief that I think was obscuring her vision. And I think she had certain expectations as well. You know, when we have certain expectations, have you ever picked up a cup thinking that it's milk and it's orange juice? And what happens? Do you say, yum, that's good orange juice? No, it tastes terrible because you're expecting milk. She's expecting a dead body. She's not expecting a live person standing in front of her, so she doesn't recognize it. People don't come back from the dead. Jesus was dead. People don't come back from the dead. If he did come back from the dead, that would be momentous. That'd be amazing. I think also she was distracted by everything that was going on. Think of everything that's going on around her in her life, right? She's following Jesus. It's the best years of her life, and she's following Jesus, and everything seems to be different. And then there's this trial, and one of Jesus' best friends betrays him, and then he gets whipped and scourged, and then he gets taken and killed on a cross, and then he gets put in a tomb, and everything in the world is going on around her is so distracting. And then she sees angels in the tomb. And maybe she's just distracted by everything around her. And then Jesus cuts through it all with the shortest sermon in the Bible. One word. One word sermon in the Bible. The shortest sermon in the Bible. And I know some of you are thinking, well, Steve, you should take notes from this. And he calls her out by name. Mary. And you can imagine the compassion and the grace and the love in that one single word. In that one single word that he says. Engage your imagination a little bit. The gentleness of Jesus in that one word. Calling out to her by name. Mary. She's crying. She's crushed. She's broken. She's in despair. She's confused. She's scared. And suddenly at the sound of her name, everything becomes clear. Everything snaps into focus. It's him. He's alive. Imagine what happens in Mary's mind. It's him. He's alive. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this could happen. How is this possible? I don't know, but it's him. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Think of what's happening in Mary's heart. Think of the relief and the elation that's going through her. Think of all the different things that would come flooding into her mind. If he's alive, what does that mean? What happened? What does that mean for me? What does it mean for the world? Well, it means I don't have to go back to my old life. And one thing it means right off the bat is that a relationship with Jesus is unbreakable even by death. That even death cannot break our relationship with Jesus. Oh, death. Where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Elsewhere in the Bible, it says, neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you not want a relationship like that? Jesus knew her name. Calls out her name, invites her to himself. And Jesus knows your name. I don't know where you are. I don't know what path you're walking. I don't know what's happening in your life at the moment. But I know this, Jesus knows your name as well. He knows you. And I know one thing for certain, He's calling out to you. He's calling out to you through this service this morning. He's calling out to you through your Christian friends who invited you, maybe. He's calling out to you through things that I have no idea about. You turn around and look, and He's calling out to you through His amazing creation. He's calling out to you to come into a relationship with Him, to recognize Him, to recognize who He is and what He's done. And I wonder, because these are the things that I wonder about, because I'm strange, I wonder what stops us from recognizing Him. What are the obstacles that stop us from recognizing Jesus? Well, maybe some of them are the same obstacles that we have, that Mary had. Maybe it's grief and hurt. Maybe we have such deep hurts that we're carrying. Maybe they're hurts from the church. Maybe they're hurts from other Christians. Maybe they're hurts from your past. You're carrying such deep hurts that it's obscuring your vision to see. Maybe it's distractions or worry or anxiety about the future. And to be honest, who could blame us to be distracted right now? Worldwide pandemic, rampant inflation, war, corruption, rumors of food shortages, housing crisis. There's so much to be distracted about right now. What's this world going to look like for my kids? What's this world going to look like for my grandkids? What's this world going to look like next week? There's enough to be distracted about right now. Maybe it's distraction that's keeping you from recognizing Jesus. Maybe you're so distracted by everything that's going on around you that you can't focus on Jesus calling you. Maybe it's expectations, right? Maybe you're expecting that if Jesus wants to call you, that if Jesus wants to come into your life, that the skies are going to open up and there'll be a blast of light from above and a voice from on high. Maybe that's what you're expecting and nothing else will do. Or maybe it's other things that Mary didn't have going on. Maybe it's ego. Maybe your pride is in the way. I don't need this. I'm too good for this. I'm too smart for this. That was my line. I'm too good for this. I'm too smart for this. I don't need this. That's where I came from. Maybe it's the opposite of that. Maybe it's unworthiness. I'm not good enough. I'm too far gone for Jesus to save. I'm not perfect. Maybe it's what others might think. If you recognize Jesus, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you really followed Jesus, what would your friends think? What would your family think? What would your teammates think? What would your drinking buddies think? What would they think if you really did this? Maybe that's what's holding you back. Maybe it's just simple unbelief. I just don't believe this is true. But I don't know what's holding you back. If you haven't recognized Jesus in your life, I don't know what's holding you back. That's a question you can answer. What's holding you back from recognizing Jesus? What's stopping you from recognizing Him and starting this unbreakable relationship with your Savior? Mary heard her name, and her grief turned to joy. Her fear turned to relief. Her worry turned to worship. Has Jesus been calling your name? Will you hear? I want to encourage you, if you're feeling a tug at your soul, if you're feeling a stirring in your spirit, is that Jesus calling your name? Is that Jesus preaching the shortest sermon to you so that you might recognize Him? And then everything will snap into focus for you. Who you are, who God is, if you are loved, if you are saved, and what direction your life is going. I'm not saying that following Jesus and recognizing Jesus, everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows and unicorns. I'm not saying that all the grief will be taken away, that all the hurts will be healed right away. I am saying that Jesus will walk with you through your grief and help you carry it. I am saying that Jesus will begin to heal those hurts in your soul. I am saying the distractions will begin to hold less weight, that the anxiety will begin to melt. I'm not saying your life is going to be perfect, but I am saying this, that because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because if He's alive, it means that what He taught is true. That He is truly God, that He lived a perfect life, and then He died for your sins so that you could be forgiven, that His death made you clean, that His wounds healed you. And let me tell you, He is alive. And I'm going to make a bold claim here, and if you're a fact checker, and I'd love for you to fact check me on this, I believe that there is no other fact in the ancient world, there's no other fact more solidly attested to in the ancient world than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to fact check me on that. Go check it out. And we should care because it's true. We should care whether Jesus is alive because, first of all, it's true. And because apart from Christ, you are an enemy of God. And unless you know Christ, unless you believe in Him, you will die in your sins. And because there's more to life than health and wealth and happiness, you can have all that. You can live in a beautiful place like this valley. You can have a great job. You can have food on the table. You can have a wonderful family with 2.5 kids and a dog. You can have a white picket fence. Or you can have none of that. And we're all going to die. One day we're all going to die, and what happens after this life is important. And trusting, recognizing, putting your faith in Jesus transforms this life, and it transforms the next. From a broken rivalry with God to an unbreakable relationship with a loving Savior. And I know it did for me. I had all that. I mean, this was before the 2.5 kids, but I had the health and the wealth, the happiness. There was one thing I didn't have, and I knew I didn't have it. I didn't have a relationship with God. Now, at that point, I didn't know that was what I was looking for. But looking back, I see it clearly, and Jesus made all the difference in my life. And I'll be honest with you, the reason why I'm up here is because I want you to have what I have. Eternal life. Peace in my soul. An unbreakable relationship with the only true God. Because, friends, your soul is far more important than your lawn. How many hours a week do you spend on your lawn? And your soul is far more important than that. Your soul is more important than the movies. It's more important than the money. It's more important than the thoughts of others. Recognizing Jesus is called faith. The scriptures say that whoever puts their faith in Jesus will have eternal life. And recognizing Jesus means that we recognize that Jesus is not our golfing buddy. Jesus is not just a good teacher. He's not an ascended master. Jesus is not one of many ways to God. Jesus is not the precious moments, Jesus, that you have on your mantle. Right? The one with the big eyes, pastel colors, and is taking care of the little children and the lambs. Jesus is not whatever you want Him to be. The reason why Jesus died for your sins is because God takes evil seriously. You may be held back from God thinking, you know, if there's a good God, how did He let all these bad things happen? Why doesn't God deal with evil? God did deal with evil. Himself, he took it on his shoulders. He died on the cross for all the evil in the world. He took all the punishment for all the evil in the world. And so do you recognize him? Do you recognize that Jesus is the one true God? Do you recognize that he died for your sins? And if you ask forgiveness and put your faith in him alone, that you will be saved. Will you recognize him? That he's the Savior of the world. The one and only name through which we can be saved and given eternal life. The first book of the Bible starts in a garden where people lived with God as their king. The last book of the Bible ends in a garden where people will live with God as their king. And between the beginning and the end, the resurrected king stands in the garden. Remember, Mary thought he was the gardener. Why did Mary think he was the gardener? Because they were in a garden. The resurrected king stands in the garden, and he calls your name. And he invites you to a relationship with him. He invites you to recognize him. He's calling to you this morning. Let today be the day you recognize him. Let today be the day you begin your new life. Set aside all those things that hold you back. Maybe you already know Jesus, and today is the day where you double down, where you dig in, where you lean into that. And you say, this is the day that I'm going to follow Jesus with everything I have. This is the day that I'm going to recognize that he is worthy of everything I could ever have. This is the day that I set aside all those obstacles, that I move past all those obstacles, and I hear his voice calling your name, calling you to life, calling you to eternal life with him, to freedom from sin, to freedom from death, to freedom from the devil. It took me a while to realize that I had the wrong person at Save-On. But when I was called by Jesus, I knew right away. Invite the worship team up and let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that you know us. The Bible says that you know our name and you know how many hairs we have on our heads, that you know us. And I pray that this morning as we hear your word, that we would move past these obstacles that we have to recognize you. God, that you would clear our eyes, you would clear our minds and give us a clear vision of who you are and give us the courage then to step forward. The courage to embrace you and the courage to tell others about you. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name because you have called us. It is not because of what we've done, but at your invitation that we enter into a relationship with you. And so, Lord, be glorified in our lives. Be our Lord and our Savior. Amen.